wonderful singing tonight. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Take your Bible and open tonight to Romans. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans, chapter number 8 tonight. Romans, chapter number 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans, chapter number 8, and verse number 15. We're just going to read one verse as we continue our Bible study or our preaching services on Sunday night on the subject of prayer. Tonight I'm going to talk to you on feeling at home with God, an intimate relationship with God, if you wanted to subtitle it. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. Now I want you to notice the same word, but two different meanings in this verse. It says, for we have not received the spirit, small s. It's talking about man's spirit. Man causes us to fear other things. But then it says capital S there, but you've received the spirit of adoption. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's capitalized because that's a noun, that's a name. It's talking about God's spirit. When I receive God's spirit, with God I have nothing to fear. With man, they try to make you tremble. Amen? And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of feeling at home with God or an intimate relationship with our Father. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this opportunity you've given to us. We ask now that you teach us the things we need to know to get a closer, personal walk and relationship with you. Now, Lord, I ask that you be with my voice. It's a little weak tonight. Help me to say exactly what you would say if you were in my shoes, please. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The one thing I've noticed as I've grown older is that great preachers that I have known as they grew older crave tenderness. When we're young, especially when we're young men, we don't really, not really that tender. But the older we become, the more tender our hearts become. I remember one time talking to a church member in Texas after a church service on a Wednesday night. And he had just come back from visiting one of his children who had moved up to Maine, where his son-in-law was an assistant pastor. And he said to me, Brother Marco, he said, when your children leave home, you're going to find some things happen to you. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've always been a strong man's man. I don't cry, I don't weep, I don't show emotion. He said, then my children grew up and left home. And now I cry at the drop of a hat, and sometimes I just drop the hat. He said, I've become tender. I've become different. And he said, it's all right. He said, you remind me a lot of me. He said, and when your children get older, you're going to have the same thing happen to you. At that time, my children were teenagers. And sure enough, he was right. As my children left home, one by one, my heart became more tender. And the older I've become, the more tender my heart has become. And I hunger and crave tenderness as a human being. As I grow older, I find gentle expressions and mean more to me than they used to. A pinch on the elbow by a loving friend, or a squeeze of the hand when someone says how they care, or a note or an encouraging word, or a little child telling me they love me mean a whole lot. All of the people that encouraged me over the last few days since my brother died, all just the simple words, the people who have tears in their eyes for someone they've never met because of their care for me and their love for me, for my brother, because of me, is tender to me. And it all has great value. Greater value than millions of dollars would ever carry. Why does this happen? Why, as you get older, do we feel as people that we want to get closer to others? Or why do we feel we need to get closer? Why does this happen to the child of God as he grows older, as he grows in grace? it's not hard to know. The fact is that we become more like Jesus. The more we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the truth, the more we become like Jesus. Our bodies, our minds, our lives are limited in its capability of loving until we meet Jesus. And then, as we study His Word, as we read His Word, as His Word comes a part of us, we start to grow tender-hearted. For Jesus is tender-hearted. He tells us to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's not hard to understand then why great men of God that I've known in the past, as I've watched them grow old and before they've gone off into eternity, have become tender-hearted men. The more time you spend with God, the more tender-hearted you become. The more of a personal prayer life you have with God, the more tender-hearted you become. Oh, to offer to Him and to give Him love that He wants and needs from His own, tells us and teaches us the things about being tender-hearted. But I want you to notice some things as we begin tonight. I want you to notice verse 15 again. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but we received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Notice that word Abba. That's the Jewish term that we comparably call today in English, Papa or Daddy. Now when I say Father, that has a very, very formal ring to something. But when I say Daddy, there's no formalness there. There's intimacy there. When I say Papa, oh Papa, can we do this? There's an intimacy there. Not everybody can call that man Papa who's your Papa. Not everybody can call that man Daddy who's your Daddy. Amen? But many men are called Father and are never Daddies or Papas. Anyone can father a child. Any man can. But not any man is a Daddy or a Papa. It's that intimate personal relationship. God yearns for you and I to have a personal, tender relationship concerning us in Him. He wants us to have familiarity with Him. The one reason I'm opposed to what's commonly called formal worship services or high praise worship services. You don't see them much anymore today, but they used to be very, very formal, and you could go everywhere, and organs would ring through the air, and they wouldn't allow pianos to be played. As a young Christian in my 20s, they wouldn't let pianos played in a lot of churches, only the organs on Sunday morning. And everything was very stiff and very formal, and I'm opposed to that. You know why? Because God's not that way. Not with His children, He's not. God isn't a formal kind of person when it comes to our relationship with them. He wants a sweet, tender, personal relationship that we, as His children, can have with our Savior. If you were God, wouldn't you want the best for your children? And the best is a personal relationship. Formal, stately, ritualistic services don't teach that personal relationship. The sweet I love you. You're a wonderful Savior. I love you, Abba, Papa, Daddy. Those are the things that God wants to hear. When our Lord was talking with Simon Peter, He asked him a question. He said, "Lovest thou me?" There are two words used for love in this section of Scripture that are different. Jesus said, "Lovest thou me?" Peter responded by saying, "Thou knowest I love thee." Yet there are two different words here. Jesus was using a stronger form of love, the Greek word agape. He was asking Peter if he dearly loved him or if he deeply loved him. Peter was using a more milder word, which could be translated fondness. I'm fond of you. It's one thing to be fond of somebody. It's another thing to be deeply in love with them. I'm not just fond of my wife. I'm deeply in love with her. And I would never marry somebody that I wasn't deeply in love with. I'm fond of my dog. Okay? I'm fond of people that I barely know. But I deeply love my wife. I deeply love my children. I deeply love my grandchildren. That's the agape kind of love that Jesus was speaking to Peter there about. Jesus was saying, Peter, do you deeply love me? Peter was saying, Lord, I'm fond of you. Jesus asked again, Peter, do you deeply love me? Or do you love me? Loveth thou me? And Peter again replied, I'm fond of you. What was Jesus doing? He was longing for Peter to say, I'm deeply in love with you, my Lord. No doubt he longs to hear that from you and I. On one occasion, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? A disciple began to answer, and some said, you're Elijah. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Jeremiah. Jesus asked, said, whom say ye I am? And Jesus knew that they believed he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but he wanted to hear it from them. I love a little poster that came out in, I think it was the 1970s, might have been the 80s, where a little boy says to a little girl, tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot. That was a poster that hung up in different places. Now, that's what Christ is looking for. That was what he was talking to Peter about. That's what he was talking to his disciples about. And that's what he's talking to me and you about. He wants to hear more often, do you love me? Well, yeah, I love you. Well, tell me again, because I forgot. Now, God doesn't really forget. He just wants that intimacy. You know, someone you love, you tell them you love them over and over again. Often I say to my wife in the middle of the day, have I told you I love you today? And she usually it's in a text. And she'll text back, yeah, about 100 times. I just love telling her. By the way, she loves hearing it. If I stopped saying it to her, she'd want to know what was wrong. It would be an indication that there would be something wrong. And when we stop telling God how much we love Him, we start calling Him our Papa, our Daddy, our Father, our Abba. We stop calling Him that. There's something wrong. Because we're not relating to that intimate relationship. Our Lord, in the Lord's Prayer, I like to call it the prayer outline, the Lord admonishes us to pray, Our Father. He could have said, just pray Father, but no. He wanted the personal possessive pronoun, Our, there. Our Father. He's not just a Father. God just isn't God of all. He's Our Father. He's my personal Daddy. There have been many men who've walked this earth that I liked, who were fatherly towards me in many ways. But there's only one Don Marco that was my daddy. There's only one person I went home to every night. There's only one person that cared about taking care of my every need. There's only one person that didn't worry about how much the medical bills cost him. He's going to take care of me. One man who didn't care how much it was going to cost to eat. He was going to feed me. There was one man that didn't care how much the house was going to cost. He wanted to house us. He didn't care how much the clothes were going to cost. He was going to put them on our backs and the shoes on our feet. And the things that we'd like to have, he was going to provide everything he could. There's only one man like that, my daddy. And God says, that's the kind of relationship I want with you. I want a personal, personal father, son, daddy, child relationship. It's also noteworthy that in our outline of prayer, often called the Lord's Prayer, we're admonished to say, Our Father, which art in heaven. This is the first time that the title Father is given to God in heaven. It's the first time in all of Scripture. That's an amazing statement right there. It's here he injects his desire to have a relationship with us as a father would have with his son. How great the heart of God wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. Let me say this, number one. We have intimate relationships with those whom we deeply love. We have intimate relationships with those that we deeply love. If you deeply love God, you will develop an intimate relationship with Him. How do I develop that intimate relationship? By realizing we don't go and call Him God. We don't call Him Father. I've been to Congress where they get up and they take this piece of paper and that you hear as they get up there and unfold and
they read their prayer to God.
That's not the kind of God I serve. That's not my father. I didn't go as a boy to my daddy and say,
Dear Father, please provide food on the table. Sir, please.
I didn't do that. I didn't even ask for food. I say, can I have some pretzels? Hey, Dad, can I have some pretzels? Yeah, good. How many? Can I have some potato chips? Can we go get some ice cream, Daddy? Hey, Daddy, can we go play over there? Hey, Daddy, can we go to the park? Hey, Daddy, can we go play on the swing set? And it was all Daddy, personal. There was no
formalism to my relationship with my father as I walked in the door. Oh, Father, good morning to thee, O Master of the home.
God doesn't want us to approach Him like that. Yet that's how many people do. Can you imagine how intimate your wife would feel or your husband would feel if you walked in and said,
well, hello, dear loving wife. It's so good to see you today. Oh.
She wants you to grab her and give her a kiss. Amen. Forget all that formalism. She wants a hug and a hamburger. Amen? Intimacy. Intimacy comes from spending time with somebody. Intimacy comes because we decide to invest our life. I'm going to tell you a secret about love. Are you ready? Here's a secret about love that most folks don't realize. We don't fall in love. We fall in a hole. We decide to be in love. Love is a decision that we make. So, I didn't fall in love with my wife like I walking across the platform, missed a step, and boop, fell on my face. That's falling. I didn't fall for her. I saw her. I thought about her. I thought about what she offered. I thought about what I offered. And I said, I love this person. Love is a decision we make. We decide to love God. Then we act upon that decision. Once I decided to love her, I started chasing her till she caught me. Amen? That's how it works too, by the way. You decide that you... Listen, I dated 34, maybe 36 women on a serious basis before I met my wife, looking for a woman to be my wife. None of them got very far. I was engaged to one lady at one time. But halfway through the engagement, I said, this is just not the person for me. I had not made that decision in my heart to love her. I had made a decision to marry her because, I don't know, I guess I thought it was time to get married. But when I sat down alone by myself and asked myself, do you love this person? The answer was, I never made that decision. I was waiting for a feeling and an emotion to hit me. Feelings and emotions never hit you. They come, they go. They're like a sideswiper. They hit you for a moment and then they're gone. And then they bounce over here and they bounce over there. They're never the same and they're never consistent. So it's not a feeling or emotion. It's a decision. For God so loved the world, God decided to love man regardless of what man had done. Amen? So when man sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God had already made a decision. He decided that He loved man that He made. So He didn't want to lose what He made, so He said, what do we have to do? Someone has to die. The sin debt must be paid. So Jesus gave His life so that we could live. Why? Because God's justice had to be met because of His perfect love, which was a decision. We weren't loving when He decided to love us. We weren't lovable when He decided to love us. Because love is a decision, not a feeling or an emotion. It's not something we fall into. So we have to decide then that we're going to love God. And once we decide that, then we need to act upon that love and chase God till He catches us. And that develops an intimacy. I tell my wife all of my secrets. I really don't know that I have any secrets from her. I remember we had gotten engaged to get married, and I said, I started telling her things. I'd say, honey, I want to tell you something. And she'd say, what's that? And then I'd start to tell her the story about something in my life. And I'd say, okay, now I told you that. You still want to marry me? And I started telling her anything. I wanted to make sure my wife knew everything about me, that one day if she heard it, she wouldn't go, "If I would have known that, I wouldn't have married you." I wanted her to know everything up front. So I kept giving her opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to back out. And I'd say, after I'd done telling her, I'd say, "So do you still want to get married?" And she'd say, "You're an idiot." That's what she's, if you knew my wife, that's exactly what she'd say. "You're an idiot. Of course. I decided I was going to marry you a long time ago. I love you, whether you like it or not." "Well," I said, "honey, it's not that I don't like it or not. I just want to make sure that nothing catches you by surprise." She said, "It doesn't surprise me anything that you would do." My wife knows me well. Every once in a while, I get surprised when she doesn't know something about me. One day, and years ago now, must have been close to, well, let's see, maybe, yeah, about 20, over 20 years ago now, we were at a church, and the music department needed somebody to play the timpani. And I was sitting next to my wife, and I said, "Oh, I'll play it." My wife looked at me and says, "You can't play the drums." So what do you mean by that? "I played the drums all through grade school and high school." She said, "You did? I never told her. I never thought about it. It never came up." She said, "Are you sure you can play them?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I've never seen you. We've been married all these years. I've never seen you one time pick up a drumstick." I said, "I promise you I can play it." So we went over to the timpani. They gave me the music. I sat down. I listened to it. I looked at the music. I checked the timpani. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm tuning it." She said, "You're doing what?" I said, "You got to tune the timpani." She said, "No, you don't." I said, "Yes, you do." She said, "Well, hit it." And she took the stick and she smacked it in the middle. And it went, boom. Because you don't hit a timpani in the middle. You hit it on the edge. And she said, I said, "You don't hit it there." She said, "Yes, you do." I said, "No, you don't." And I hit it on the edge. And she said, "Oh, wow, that sounds different." I said, "I played the timpani." She said, "I'm not sure that you've played the timpani." Because I had told her so many things in my life that this became a surprise to her. It's hard to surprise my wife with something in my life. One day, my dad was in the hospital, and we'd come to Akron, Ohio. My dad was dying of cancer, and we walked upstairs up into his room, and as we were walking into the room, out was walking the nurse. And I ran into the nurse, and I looked down at her, and her name was, well, I knew her as Susie Phillips. And I ran into her, I looked down, and her name said Susie, and she was a red-haired young lady with freckles on her face, always looked that way, and I easily recognized her. I said, "Susie Phillips." And I said, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "I'm your dad's nurse." I said, "No way." And my wife said, "Susie Phillips, let's see, that's the little girl that you got in trouble for, that you stayed at the school, and you walked her home, and you missed the bus, and you, and all, that's her?" Because my wife knew all these things, see. So when she heard that I had played the timpani, she was amazed, and the piece started, and I played my part, and the director went, "Wow, that's really good, Brother Marco." And my wife said, "I would have never believed it." Because those were one of the things she hadn't seen me do. It kind of surprised her. And you know, sometimes I'm glad I'm able to surprise her. Because that makes our intimacy even closer. Amen. My wife knows a lot about me. And that's what God wants in our intimate relationship with Him. He wants to get to know us so well that if something were to come up, He'd be surprised. He wants us to know Him so well that if something different would come up, we'd go, "Oh, I didn't know that about God. That is really cool." I heard something a few months ago. I can't remember what it is now. My mind isn't what it used to be. It used to be a steel trap. I always used to get myself caught in it. But and I just remembered everything. But a few months ago, somebody was talking, and I was listening to their conversation. And it was kind of a teaching, preaching conversation. And I was just listening, and I went, "Wow, I didn't know that." I went back and looked in my Bible and said, "Well, look at there it is right there. That is really cool. I love it when I can do that." And I said, "God, that is so neat." A few years ago, I'd say, oh, now it's about 10 years ago, a friend of mine named Keith Bell and I were, we had been both pastors, and we were talking about, he was starting a church in Texas. It was about 10 years ago, and we were talking about our prayer relationship with God, and we started talking about humility, and neither one of us knew a lot about humility, and we started learning about what humility meant, to depend totally and completely on God. And it changed our life as he and I studied together over distance the subject of humility. and how God taught us things that I never saw before in the Word of God. Sometimes I get real excited. I'll wake my wife up in the middle of the night. I'll say, "Honey, are you awake?" She'll go, "Well, I am now." And she'll say, "What's wrong?" And I'll say, "Nothing. I was reading in my Bible just now. And I came across, this is the greatest thing." And she'll go, "Uh-huh." And I can hear her slowly falling back to sleep as I start to explain what I just saw in Scripture. And I'll say, "Isn't that cool?" And she'll go, oh yeah, uh-huh. And she didn't get anything I said. But it was something new that got me excited, that caused me to have a stronger, intimate relationship with my God, with my daddy, with my papa. My dad passed away when I was in my, 30s, late 20s, early 30s. And my brother, Don, who just passed away, is 4 years older than I am, and he started to have a different relationship with my dad. He had started to have a work relationship, a friendship. My brother at that time was in the Air Force, and he was doing some business with my dad's company, and my dad was a representative of the company that was trying to service this contract for the Air Force that my brother was involved with. And he got to know my dad on a more intimate, personal, one-on-one adult relationship. And he would often tell me how wonderful that was, how much he enjoyed that. I wished I could have that relationship with my daddy. Not just a father-son relationship, but an intimate, personal, adult relationship. For now, I understand many things that my mom and dad went through. Now I understand what it's like to raise teenagers, because boy, I was a tough one to raise. Now I know what it's like to be a grandpa. Oh, and I know how excited they would be to see the grandkids now, or their great-grandkids. And that personal knowledge, that personal relationship becomes so precious, and so wonderful as we explore it. And the same is with our God. So God wants us to have that personal relationship. But how do we do it? By deciding we love Him. When you make that decision, now it's time to throw everything else to the wind and just give Him our everything. The more we give Him our everything, the more intimate we have. Did you ever notice a person that you start to love, or you decide that you're going to love, you start to call them more often, you start to talk to them more often, you start to tell them all your secrets, all the burdens, all the blessings, all the curses that go through the day? That's what God wants to have with us. He wants us to go to Him with everything. Good stuff, bad stuff. Listen, sometimes I go to the Lord and I say, "I'm probably the biggest crybaby you've ever seen in eternity, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway." And I whine and I cry to Him about all the things that bothered me that day. And then I tell Him all the wonderful things that happened to me that day. That's because it's an intimate relationship. Because we do that with the ones who we're intimate with. My sister called me Saturday and she said, "How you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm doing fine." No, maybe it was Friday. She called me Friday and said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm fine." She said, "No, I don't want the Marco, I'm doing fine. I want the truth." I said, "I'm as tired as can be. I didn't sleep a wink last night." She goes, "Well, that's what I wanted to hear." And I said, "Well, no, that's not what I wanted to say." She said, "Well, I wanted to hear that because I'd rather have the truth from you than your lying. Because I give the same lying," she said. And I understand that. You know what that is? Intimacy. We don't let people close to us who we don't want to have an intimate relationship with. We don't reveal our deepest secrets to people whom we don't want to be intimate with. My dad had passed away a few years, and I'd run into my cousin, and my cousin is a tax attorney in Medina, Ohio. And we were talking about my dad, and he said, "You know, I did some tax work for your dad before he passed away." I said, I knew that. He said, "He came to my office 4 times. Before he opened up his accounting books to me. He said, 'I got some tax problems I want you to handle,' and he'd talk in real general state, and he'd never let me see anything. He said, 'It took a long time for your dad to open up and tell me everything I needed to know in order to help him.' He said, 'It took a long time for him to become intimate with me.'" That's how most of us treat God. We know we need something from Him, and we treat Him almost in a formalistic, "I'm not sure I can trust you all the way" kind of situation. But God wants us to trust Him wholly, completely, fully, for His glory and for His honor. In John chapter 4 and verse 23 it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Look at those words. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. God called Abraham His friend. God called David the friend of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when your life was over, and God put out His hand to greet you, to take you to heaven, because God greets us individually. I can show you in Scripture where Jesus is the one that actually takes us to heaven. It's not Peter. It's not an angel. It's Jesus Himself. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. And Jesus puts out His hand, and we take His hand, and we go off into eternity with Him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if He reaches out and He said, "Here, take my hand, friend." And He meant it as an intimate friend relationship. And the angels whispered, "Did you see that? He has always been a friend of God." Close, intimate, personal relationship. That's what David had with God. That's what Abraham had with God. That's what Moses had with God. That's what Jonathan had with David. That's what Peter had with God. That's what John had with God. That's what Paul had with God. And that's what you can have with God. Father, I thank You tonight. Not a long message, simple message, true message. You want us to get to know You better until we feel so at ease in Your presence. And we call You Papa and Daddy. I know that there's sometimes in life that life gets hard. And I just go into a room by myself. I imagine me crawling up into Your throne, working my way under Your arm, squirreling myself underneath the safety of Your arm like a child would do with his parent or grandparent. And I just sit there in the safety and snuggled into Your arm, close to You, laying my head on Your chest because You're so important to me. We need to have that kind of relationship with You. One where we feel safe, secure, happy, encouraged. And when we're distressed, we can call on You. When we're excited, we can tell You about it. When we're confused, You can straighten us out. When we're overwhelmed, You can comfort us. Because we trust You in an intimate relationship. Please help us to trust You in that way. Help us to walk in Your truth.